Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Wednesday pre-market prep. Spencer Israel here, Joel Elkanen, and Dennis Dick with you as we are every morning. A lot of news on our radar today. Of course, earnings, obviously, Netflix, Snapchat from yesterday. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about this move in GM after their Hummer event last night, the move it's making this morning, along with Nikola and Ford. Pinterest as well, moving on that Netflix or on the, Snapchat reports. So we'll talk Pinterest, getting a pair of upgrades, a lot on our radar. Our guest, we have a new guest on today. Alex Cole is his name. He is the CEO and chief market strategist at Go No Go Charts. He's got a cool new charting style that I think some of you may get a kick out of and get appreciate. So that'll be at 8:35. He'll show us his charts and how he sort of looks at the market. We got a lot going on today, Joel. I'll bring you on here. How are we doing this morning? Because we got a lot of earnings, a lot of individual news. How are we doing on the overall macro front?
How are we doing on No Tangent Wednesday here? We're sticking strictly to business. A lot of news to cover. A big old rally overnight. We got to 34.58, turned around, and now we're in the red by 2.75 handles at 29.75. Pre-market low hanging out right near that 430, 445 low when they smashed the spoos when the Netflix numbers came out. You now have crude in the red by 77 cents at 40.93. Gold trying to move up to the top of the trading range, up $5.40 at 19.2090. Silver not being left out of this rally, up 11 cents at 25.09. And don't look now, Bitcoin clears 12,000. It's up $455 at 12,425. And it was a buy there at 12,000. Triple D, how are you doing on this hump day?
Not too bad. It's just been the most choppy after-hour session, choppy pre-market session we've had in a long time. We were down, we were up, we were down, we were up, we were down. It's called the yo-yo session. And if you ain't fading, you ain't trading. If you're a fade trader, even in the last little while, if you're a fade trader, but I tell you, last night, if you were fading moves, you're making money.
How were things? I didn't look. I like to look at that, like the 8 o'clock shutdown and just to see which way you were leaning.
We were up. We were up. So we tanked. And I think you can attribute it. There was a lot of comments
Netflix
on the stimulus. No, stimulus. Well, Netflix, yeah, we tanked a little bit, but then we rallied right after that. We rallied after the Snapchat. So we went down a bit on the Netflix, which we'll get to in a second. Then we rallied on Snapchat because it had all tech getting rallied. Facebook was getting bit. Twitter was getting bit. Pinterest was getting bit. And you saw a lot of other tech rally there too. And Texas Instruments came out too, which helped the chips. So I actually saw the NASDAQ trading higher, QQQ significantly higher there, even though Netflix was down. Then there was stimulus, and we had somebody on CNBC talking, and you know, there was multiple headlines about the stimulus. Trump, I believe there was even a headline there as well. So talk's good, talk's still going on, but then they sold it off anyways. And then they decide, no, we're going to rally it. So we were down 15 handles. They decided we rally for the next 2 hours, and we're up like 25 handles last night. And then we pull the rug out from under those people too, and we tank again. So can you show this after hours chart, Spence or Joel? Because it's after hours chart session.
In the spoos? Okay.
Joel, you're sharing the wrong screen here. So get your right screen up.
That's pretty cool, though, to see like what you're looking at. There's the chat.
Oh.
See, this is the chat we're talking, you know? People
good
who just listen. Show that. Yeah. Well, I guess if you're seeing it, you're seeing it.
Oh, boy. I got to be careful what I have on my screens here.
Yeah, Joel.
All right. Hold on a second. Okay. Screen share. Boom, boom, boom. Sometimes I type in ES. I think that's Eversource Energy, but I forget to put the at in there. And there you go. There it is.
Chop, chop, chop.
And this is starting at the open. So
yeah. So you can see we had the rally. I don't see the dip there. Oh, there was a little dip.
Oh, yeah. Yep. 3 o'clock dip. Did you get up, Dennis?
Yeah, but you got to look at 4 o'clock. So you got to rate. So we dipped right off the hop because the lines restarts, the reopen starts at six. So if you look, you can see the first session from 1600 there. You went straight down. And then we ripped higher. And then we were higher for most of the night. And then we sold it all off. Then we went back to positive again. Oh, no, no. We sold off again. So the yo-yo trade, fade trade, working well.
Yeah, so that's...
I like the fade of markets. I'm a natural fader. They used to call me Darth Fader. No, but I just but
Dennis,
they should have called me Darth Vader.
That was a good one, Dennis.
Dennis, you must be like, what, Star Wars 42 is not going to come out now, right?
Because come on, Joel.
What galaxy are they going to find now and save Princess Leia?
The whole world likes Star Wars except you. Yeah, I like Star Wars so much, I pulled the AT-AT out of my neighbor's garbage. So I love Star Wars.
What did you pull out of their garbage?
The AT-AT. They were thrown away, and I think I told you about this.
What
a lot.
Is this?
They were it's the big... It's okay. So the AT-AT's from The Empire Strikes Back, it was first introduced way back on Hoth, and it's the Imperial. It's the Imperial Walker, and it's a huge machine, you know, that just comes in and attacks all the rebels at Hoth. So anyway, so I had to go out and take the garbage out about 2 weeks ago, and I look at my neighbor's garbage, and he's got a full-size AT-AT just sitting there ready to go to the garbage. I was like, well, thank you very much. Kid's birthday coming up in a week. Pick up the AT-AT, pull it in, and then I just looked at the bin. I was like, oh, he's got other Star Wars stuff here too. I'll take that too. So anyways, my boy's playing with his AT-AT nonstop. He loved that birthday present.
I still
don't
understand.
Eric, the neighbor Eric Andrea, thank you very much for the AT-AT.
Say,
I don't think they listen to the
it's
show.
A toy or something. What is it again?
A toy. So I thought
AT-AT. Google AT-AT. Show what an AT-AT looks like. Spencer, bring up the AT-AT.
Hey, no.
Show what the AT-AT looks like.
No, I thought this was
tangents.
This was a tangent free show. What happened? Come on. I'm bringing it back.
2 minutes in. We're talking Star Wars and AT-AT. You started this.
Can you show me a stat-AT?
Later. I will show you
to stat, stat.
Wait,
stat
arb. Dennis, you got to stop trading, man. You're like all stats and ads, and you just got to get away from these markets. All Netflix earnings, please.
Yes, thank you. Finally. All right. Netflix earnings. We talked about this yesterday. We had said, okay, the question was Netflix has themselves admitted our subscriber growth is going to slow down. When will that slowdown happen? Well, it happened already. That was the takeaway from yesterday. I'll read you the numbers. So their earnings per share missed badly. Their new subscribers also missed badly. That was the takeaway. So the EPS, $1.74 versus a $2.13 estimate. Sales was fine, but new subscribers, they added here. I got so many numbers up on my screen here. 2.2 million net subscribers added in the quarter. I guess that was like closer to what the company's own guidance, but it was wildly below what the street was expecting at closer to 5 million. So
I see the AT-AT.
Okay. There we go.
You had to do. Who did you bring that up, Joel?
Yeah, I did.
No tangent. Wednesday just went back to tangents. Look how cool that thing is. And you know what's awesome about this AT-AT too? It's got like a sensor on it. So like you walk by it and it starts just firing off on you. So the funny thing was I put it in my garage to hide it from my kid, and it was just like unloading on something all night, man. So I don't know. I probably had a mouse in the garage or something. Every time the mouse drops by, pew, 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 was trying to get the mouse. So needs real bullets.
All right. Back to the charts and back to Netflix here. Like I said, huge miss on their net subscriber ads for the quarter to go with an EPS miss. They gave some guidance, but I think the takeaway here was, hey, they admitted this. They said, if you go back and look at the chart from a few months ago or look at their charts of the new subscribers that they added, I mean, they said this was a pull forward effect, right? All the new subscribers that we added in Q1 and Q2 were just pulled forward from future quarters, and so we're seeing that now.
Yeah, so they shouldn't have talked and say that they're pulling them all forward. You know what? I've been dead wrong 2 quarters in a row on this Netflix. Last 2 quarters, I thought Netflix would kill it, and the stock's tanked. So I don't know. Don't follow me, my lead on what I say on Netflix. Because I said yesterday on the show, I was like, I think they kill it. And it had a nice pullback ahead of it. I was like, I didn't mind the setup. I'm glad I didn't go long it. But, you know, it's down $30 here. So you get some right, you get some wrong. I've been wrong 2 quarters in a row on Netflix. So I'll just shut up on this. You guys will do a better job.
The streets leading the right way into this one. You had five down days going into the report. So I was hoping to maybe get a pop up that 50% of that move. We talked about that yesterday. That's history. You had the panic low. So, I mean, I'm not tempted to say that the low of the day is in. That's 486.50. But I think your option guys might have a hold of it now. And you have 495 to 500 push and pull there. I mean, first time down to that pre-market low, if it gets there, I would take a look at it as a, you know, a possible long area. On the dailies, I thought just over 500 would hold it. Blew that. What do you have on the dailies to rhyme with that? 486.50 was your low on September 29th. So 12 bucks off that, 500 to resist. I think you'll sneak into the 500 handle today. I just don't know how
you're buying the dip. That's usually the play.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but I wouldn't be waiting for 522.26, which was the low of yesterday's range. If I did something like that, I would, you know, if I scooped it up, I'd throw orders out at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and just hope, you know, get, you know,
fire off those orders and add size.
Increase. Are we going to get in trouble for showing that?
Probably. Yeah, Disney will sue us.
Yeah,
that's showing our ad at without having permission to show the ad at, talking about the ad at without having permission to talk about the ad at.
Yeah, so keep an eye on that pre-market.
YouTube will shut us down.
That's about it. That's about it.
All right, so that knocked tech down momentarily until the next report came out, and then they decided they had to buy every social media stock in the whole world, and we'll just buy tech stocks as well. Snapchat blows it away. Give us the numbers, Mr. Israel.
Everything was good here. The EPS, they made a penny per share last quarter versus a 5 cent loss estimate. Sales of $678 million versus a $550 million estimate. So they beat on the top and the bottom line as far as the financials are concerned. As far as user metrics, user growth, those were also all great. Daily active users up 18% year over year to 249 million. Snaps created per day was up 25%. Total time spent watching shows up 50%. Average revenue per
watching
user
shows?
Up. Yeah. Like
that, watching
like
shows on Snapchat?
Yeah. Average revenue
do everything per user on was there. Up. That hot dog show, Joel.
Oh, every
dancing hot dog.
Everything was up better than expected. It was better than their own guidance as well, their own new user guidance. So everything was good for Snapchat. It was their best quarter that they've had in quite some time.
They are snapping up the shares after hours here, up 20%. It was even higher than that, so it's come off a little bit off the highs. But, wow, big move, SNAP. I don't know what to say. You know, it's not only propelling, you know, Snapchat, but the sympathy plays. And I was quick, man. The algos are all over this one now because I was quick on Twitter and I was trying to grab Twitter as soon as that snap started popping and it went fast. So if you got Twitter flat because that's where I was trying to get it, congratulations. It felt like it went in 0.5 milliseconds, but it probably did. And then Pinterest got the lift too. So you had Pinterest, Twitter, both lifting significantly. And then they gave Facebook love as well.
How much did you jump the offer by on Twitter?
Like, so the way my system works, it's a point and click system here really fast. So, you know, obviously the algorithms are a little bit quicker, but I just click the offer and click buy. Two clicks. So I hit offer, buy. It's the fastest, my default size, everything's set up in there. I can go just from a point and click perspective, usually from idea to execution. If I'm really quick, I think way less than 2 seconds. I think I can do it in less than a second. So idea generate, boom, boom. So if you're just like pins, boom, boom, boom.
I'd say
under 2 seconds for somewhere between 1 and 2 seconds.
What
so
if you
that's
would
my have... human, that's as a human being.
Can
so
you...
it was faster than 2 seconds.
Could you
algo's all over it for sure.
Could you go a dime a dump above the offer?
Yeah, but it's hard because I'm just clicking on the offer price. So I can have I have a hotkey built to buy the bid up. So maybe you should use that. Buy the
you should have went above the offer. You're not gonna get the I mean you do get it sometimes, But I think if you would have went, everyone was going for the offer.
Yeah, like, well, you know what? It's probably in my best interest to start using the other hockey, the buy plus 10 cent hockey.
Yes.
So basically, yeah, you just go boom, hit buy, the offer plus 10
cents. At least a dime.
It's not a bad idea. Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Because you know there's someone sleeping. I mean, the guy on the offer is like,
oh, he's on the offer. You're crazy, man. So, okay, here's a 100% way to lose money all the time. I'll let you, you know, we can't tie the 100% to make money. I'll tie the 100%
like everyone
way
else
to lose
on
money.
Twitter. Yeah.
Sit out on the bid and the offer, you know, make a tight market on something like Twitter when Snapchat's about to report. Because if you're making a bid, while Snapchat's crappy, you're going to get smoked on your bid and you're going to lose money. If your Snapchat earnings are good and you're on the offer, you're going to get lifted and you're going to lose money. So either way, you lose. That's why the market makers go, yike, they pull their bids and offers coming into a news event because they don't want to get picked off. In either event, when you're sitting out there on the bid and the offer, you get picked off. The only way you make money is if it whipsaws through it. So,
yeah,
but in this case, it was no whipsaw. Snapchat was a complete repricing. Obviously, to the tune of 20%. And if you look at Twitter here this morning, also a complete repricing up to the tune of 5%. I'm long Twitter in my long-term portfolio. I know you are too, Mr. Alkanen. I wanted to be long in the trading portfolio, but I wasn't quick enough.
Someone asked, is this going to fade? They're going back to the original stock. And this is a tough one. Boy, I don't know what the 30 calls we're going for. 35.60 is your pre-market high. You backed off here at 34.38. So if you don't get through this 35.60, that's a firm seller there. This is an hourly chart here that on the bottom. Someone's not messing around. They want to sell there. So first time up, I would jump ahead of that offer a little bit. Obviously, if you blow through there, I think you'll see some more paper at 36. So, it's tough. And now on the downside, if you're just holding on, you're like, oh, this thing's going to 40 today. You better not see a take. I just look at 34. 34 held up on the way up. It's still bid above 34. So that's what I'm looking at. 34 to 35.60. There's your early range. But I don't know. I'd be selling if I had this thing and I had any options. It was up $6. And if I had the weeklies, I'd be like cha-ching or, you know, playing the stock against the option.
It should be mentioned, Joel, that this is an all-time high.
Oh, by far.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not shorting it. We don't short
stocks making new all-time highs.
But that,
no matter
just,
what, no matter how much the gap up, I don't usually short, maybe for day trade, but you know, an intraday trade, but you know, long-term swing trades and stuff. I don't short stocks making you.
And, man, if Jeremy Newsom, he told us to buy this pins after the gap, Dennis, we got to start listening to that guy. He said, it's not filling that gap. It's just going to go pins. That's trading right near the highs of the pre-market session, just over 49, maybe just bid up here. Maybe wait for 50. Support, and this is just mild support, 48.30. Twitter touched 50 on that one, and then bam, reality set in, and sellers stepped down. Wow, that's the first time it's hit 50. Wow, since its IPO days, huh?
All right, so you pulled a Denny and you went and talked three stocks all at once there. So we're on to Twitter, we're on to pins, or we're still trading on Snap.
I'm showing Twitter right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't look at the charts. Well, I don't look at charts.
You talked about them. All right. Enough.
You always yell at me for that. You just that's like five stocks. What stock are you on?
You just talked about all of them first, though. You started talking about
So it's my fault again. What? Everything is my fault.
You guys
this
wake
is my
up
fault.
What happened this morning? You guys wake up on the wrong side of the bed or something?
Yeah, it's my fault. I went to bed. It's wacky Wednesday. Wacky Wednesday.
Well, see, I know what happened is you're both up late watching the GM Hummer event. That's definitely what it was.
Oh, a little tangent there.
Oh, look at this. He brings us away. I was going to give you some. Okay, let's
do
it.
Okay, fine.
Talk
No.
I like this idea. General Motors is a better conversation.
Okay.
So, wow. General Motors stock has just quietly been ripping higher. And we talked about this when it was back at 30. And I was like, if they're going to start ripping General Motors every time they come out with a new electric vehicle, you got to buy a stock. Because they're going to come out with a ton of electric vehicles, just a ton of electric vehicles. And so is Ford. They're not going to sit here and let's just keep producing our gas guzzling, cars here while the whole world goes EV. They're going EV too. You know, right now, currently, if I just Googled it, Tesla's 81% of the EV market.
What's going on? Why are we rallying here? What's going on? Do we have any news? Stimulus deal?
Cancel orders. Cancel all orders.
We're
cancel
rallying. All orders. This is a
cancel all orders.
Spencer, you got anything?
You got me all scared. Cancel all orders.
Oh, look at Dennis on CNBC. They're showing the at right
HFT
now.
HFT stop.
Okay. Mark Meadows is on Fox Business, says they're looking to get a deal done in the next 48 hours. I mean, that's just
with what?
Stimulus. Yeah. Dennis. No. Yeah.
This is the reason why we were up, we were down, There was stimulus. Meadows was on last night. He's back on again.
Yeah.
Meadows was on last night and he was saying, oh, the talks are going okay.
Oh, wait. No. This may be the same interview. I'm sorry. Oh,
okay. This was last night.
I don't know. I can't confirm.
Anyways, we're in the chop market because stimulus, no stimulus. Biden, no Biden. We got lots of things that we just don't know what the outcome is. So it's going to chop
look
around.
Look at CNBC
fade,
real
trade.
Quick.
Fade. That's what
look
I'm doing.
Look at CNBC real quick. Look at CNBC. Oh, they were showing an at right there on CNBC.
An at.
Yes.
Boston Scientific.
Boston I don't know. This is a tough market to fade. You can't fade every 15-minute bracket, right? I mean.
Sure you can. We can fade everything. So last night. I was buying the dip and then I'm selling the rip and then I'm buying the dip. I wasn't doing as good as my one buddy at Bright Trading because he was like, I'm buying these dips. And I was even saying, I was like, might as well stop doing the arb and just buy the dip because more money just made buying the dip than doing arbitrage. So
GM.
Maybe I just stop arbitrage altogether. No more arbitrage. I don't hedge myself. I just flat out buy the dip and then you just wait for it to go up because when you're hedging yourself against stocks, you're not making the whole thing. You know, you got two sides of the trade. Better just to buy the dip. I'm going to keep doing the ARB, but
yeah,
we won't always be in one side of market. But man, the fade trade is on.
GM got almost a 37.50 on that, and you backed off a
37 and a half because they come out with an electric Hummer.
Yeah, that's $100,000
$100,000 Hummer.
Yeah. So there's different models, but the highest end is $112,500. The lowest end, I guess, is going to be 80,000. I want to add a caveat to what you said, Dennis. You said if you know, you have to just close your eyes and buy GM and Ford every time they're going to announce some sort of electric vehicle. Yeah, that only works as long as this EV trade is on, right? That's not going to be on forever.
But the EV trade's been off though, Spencer. I mean, look at the other ones, really. You know, it's cooled off anyways. Tesla's cooled off. Hasn't made a new high in 2 months.
NIO has been,
I'm still long the NIO, but the SPAC, SPAQ, I'm getting killed in that thing now. I was way up in it. This long-term investing thing, this is a tough animal, man. You know, obviously we know Nikola was the start of the end of, you know, the SPAC with the EVs, but think about all the other EV plays off of these SPACs. The Hylion one, that Ooh. One's been junk. SPAQ's been junk. I mean, what other ones are there? There's like a dozen of them, isn't there?
Well, I wouldn't argue that it's off. I would say it's rotated.
It's cooled off. Yeah, it's rotated into the traditional makers, which we talked about on the show a month ago. GM and Ford. Okay, so I just want to say to all the Tesla bulls, and I know what the argument's going to be, you know, on the other side, but they're 81% of the EV market. The pie is going to get much bigger. So that's going to help Tesla because the EV pie is here right now. It's going to be huge. Everybody's going to be driving an electric vehicle. But do you think Tesla's going to be 81% of the market 10 years from now? Do we think Tesla, that it's going to be Tesla and that's it? 4 out of 5 people are driving a Tesla. Do we think that?
You mean 4 to 5 people who have an electric vehicle?
No, I'm saying in 10 years, everybody's got an electric vehicle. Do we think that it's going to be 81% Teslas?
Probably not.
It's going to be 10% Teslas.
Ooh.
It's going to be a lot lower, but the pie is going to be way bigger. So 10%? That's still going to mean Tesla's going to make more cars and make more money because the pie is going to be bigger. But General Motors, Ford, Fiat Chrysler, all of the big automakers are all going to be, you have so much choice. There's going to be so much choice. This is my long-term prediction. So much choice. So if you think GM and Ford are just going to sit back and watch the EV train leave the station, they are not going to do it. GM has already said they want 20 electric vehicles. Ford is going to come out with electric vehicles. We're ripping GM because they're coming out with EVs. When's Ford start getting some love? I'm not long Ford, but I kind of want to be. What are your thoughts here on Ford? Is this the time to buy Ford?
It's had
they're
nice...
going to start They're going to start. What happens when they come out with the electric F-150? Well, that's coming. It's been talked about. Do we have a potential date for that or anything? Electric F-150? It's been talked about.
I don't think there's a confirmed date, I think, but it's coming in the next year or two.
It's coming. And when they start talking, the F-150, I believe, is still the number one selling vehicle, is it not?
Yes, that's correct.
When it goes electric, it's going to be big for Ford too. I've hated Ford on this show for probably at least 5 years. I've absolutely hated Ford and saying I had Ford in my long-term portfolio. I sold it like $16 back in 2015 or 2016 because I just thought that they couldn't get their act together. They're going to get some love when this electric F-150. So I don't know if I can go. Yeah, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to go to sell to buy. You know, I don't do
this
just for fun. But I definitely don't want to be short Ford anymore. I don't want to be negative on Ford because I can see what's happened with GM. GM has had all this love because of the electric vehicles. Well, you know what? That F-150 electric vehicle is coming. That electric F-150 is coming. And as it gets, talked about and EV gets love, I mean, imagine Ford comes out with a headline 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. The electric F-150, we're projecting, the end of next year.
Oh, no, like, no, no.
Blast.
Well, they're not, because they've already said it'll be mid-2022.
Mid-2022. Yeah. Okay, well, so it's a ways away. But every headline that, projects out, that is going to be a game changer for Ford once they have the electric F-150. So everybody, I've got an F-150. I love my F-150. I'll buy an electric one. If it's not too much more money, as long as it's not $100,000, I'll buy an electric F-150, and I'm sure it won't be. So I think,
I agree.
I agree. Can't see owning Tesla here and shorting Ford and saying, well, Ford to zero. I mean, the wild card for all the automakers is COVID still, too. If we go back in a full lockdown and COVID starts spreading, and I don't think we're going there, but, that could be, a catalyst that could, kick Ford off the cliff. So, you do have that wild card that, we are in a pandemic right now. Money is tighter for a lot of people and obviously not selling as many vehicles as they could if we weren't in a pandemic. But if you're going to give this kind of love to General Motors, for an electric Hummer, I think an electric F-150 is worth a lot of money. So I kind of like Ford here.
I agree. I just, and I get in big time trouble every time I say this in the chat, but I just think there's going to be overall a lot less cars on the road in 5 to 10 years. I mean, they're all going to be electric. Yes. I don't know how many are going to be self-driving. I'm
looking. Why do you own Tesla still then?
I want to sell it. I'm going to talk to her today about selling Tesla.
I mean, the market cap,
a portion of it. Yeah.
81%. And it's just been deserved. I mean, they've been the best electric maker, but they're all coming for them. This competition for Tesla is coming and it's going to come hard in the next 10 years. I am saying right now, and maybe some other people won't agree with me, but I am saying, and I think it's a pretty easy thing to say, that Tesla will not be 81% of the EV market 10 years from now. The market's going to be much bigger, but I don't even know. I think that they might be like under 20% of the EV market in the market, but the pie is going to get so much bigger. Well, so that's going to help.
The argument has always been that Tesla has had such a massive head start, like a years long,
huge
head start. But I think that, that gap is closing, right? The head start, whatever you want to call it, 5, 6, 7, 8 year head start is closing. Once we get to next year or two, and we actually have other EVs on the road, right? Ford, GM, I don't know what Fiat Chrysler is doing, but Volkswagen, they all have their own EVs out there. Nissan, once you get these other manufacturers with their own answers, then it becomes a question exactly what you're saying, Dennis.
I mean, the Tesla market cap is $400 billion. Ford market cap is $30 billion. Is Tesla, if we're all going to make EV vehicles, and that's going to be the majority of our money, once the story cools off, right now, we know valuation doesn't matter at all. I want to teach you guys something. When the story is hot, valuation is meaningless. When the story cools off, valuation starts to mean something. And valuation matters. Sean Udall said it. I've said it. Valuation doesn't matter until it does. It always does eventually matter, because eventually the story cools off. Eventually the growth slows down. And eventually what keeps stocks elevated is that there is actual value. So, you know, Tesla's been growing. Are they going to grow into their $400 billion valuation? Jason Raznick believes so. Joel's still long. Maybe he believes so too. I do not believe so. I think Tesla, you know, is fully valued. But I thought it was fully valued 100 points ago. So am I coming in here shorting it now, saying it's a trade? Impossible to time. And the story is still hot. So it's hard to just come in. But as competition starts to intensify, I'm sure it starts to make some of these bulls a little bit more nervous. I mean, think about Toyota and how much love Toyota has gotten, you know, for, you know, obviously being, you know, the way that they've produced cars and, you know, and they've always had, you know, by the markets, you know, been given a lot of love. Its market cap of Toyota is $184 billion. They're going to come out with a lot of electric vehicles. So Tesla's now over 2.5 times the market cap of Toyota. So at a certain point in time, you got to say there's a lot of good news priced in. So you know, I would have thought that was $100 billion ago. It's really expanded, you know, and obviously, you know, people on this show, you know, Jason Raznick has had this right the whole time. So, you know, and I had it on early. And, you know, I agree with, you know, like, and I was on the Tesla bandwagon train. I wrote puts, you know, I was on the Tesla bandwagon train for a long time. But I couldn't get on it when it started breaking through like 1,500 pre-split. And now, you know, if you look at it, it's like 22,000 or 25. It's just so much, you know, the market cap's so crazy. Even if it's a technology company, it's just like, they still make cars.
Yeah. Real quick, I'm looking at my sheet that Dennis told me to keep track of things that we talk about on the show that I own. And I do have a little bit of GM from a long time ago. So participating.
You're still in GM?
Yeah. I don't know why Lisa.
You backed
like
even that on that thing? GM's had a good run.
I don't know. I'll have to take a look. I think that was a Lisa pick too. But real quick, Lester Newman threw in $4.99 on I know we got a $20 bonus one time, but Bitcoin, Dennis, what is going on with Bitcoin?
Where is it?
It's breaking out, is what it's
12,500.
Dennis, don't stop talking and buy it. Come on.
I've been wanting to buy Bitcoin. I'm a Bitcoin bull. I just don't know how to buy it. I don't want to open up my little. I'm going to forget my code like Joel would. So if I go and open up the Coinbase account, I got to remember the 16-digit code. I'll forget it. And then I'll be like, oh, send me a reminder for my password. That reminder won't come and my Bitcoins will be lost forever. So, and I don't want to buy GBDC or whatever and pay the huge premium.
So why can't you?
So I don't know how to buy it. Or GB. What is it?
Dude, Dennis, you're so smart. You know how to buy Bitcoin. Would you quit talking like that? You know how to open up accounts.
I don't want to have to remember the password.
Why can't you buy the futures? I don't understand.
The futures are fully margined, Spencer.
Oh.
They've always been fully margined. Yep.
They could buy the futures.
Fully margined?
Is there a premium paid there too?
I don't know.
I haven't looked at it. I'm not a Bitcoin trader. I'm a stock trader. I haven't looked into any of this stuff. Look into it for me.
Where is Bitcoin trading at? The futures, I don't know. There's something going on.
I think it's going to 20,000.
Are they doing another fork or spoon or something? Another fork? Are they? Dennis, do you know? Are they?
I can't speak to any forks, but spoons potentially, yeah.
12,000. What are you talking about? I'm completely lost.
A fork. They do forks.
Who does a fork?
Spencer, will you explain it to them?
They split the value of a Bitcoin that you can mine, essentially.
Oh yeah, is it called a fork?
Yeah.
They fork it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they already just did that. I see that Pompey guy on my Twitter all the time. He's been pumping, you know, and saying you got to buy before they do.
You know who we got to track down, Spencer? Remind me to.
I think it already happened.
Who's the guy that Spinner really doesn't like? He manages like $7 billion.
Yusko?
Yeah.
Yusko's been good, man.
Yeah. He's great.
He's been very wrong on the stock market because he's been bearish stocks forever. He's bearish stocks by Bitcoin. And you know what? The Bitcoin's come back for him. The stocks being bearish stocks hasn't worked so well, but bring Mark back on. We've had Mark a few times. I like
it's,
Mark.
Yeah. It's kind of hard
Mark's
to get
a nice
him
guy.
You got to
nice
send
guy
like 42 emails. Spencer, you want to get Mark on?
Sure.
Bring Mark back on.
It's
we
just
like
a
Mark.
a lot of emails and
he's been wrong about the stock market, but he's
okay.
Doing pretty good.
Spencer's in charge of that.
Getting Mark Yusko back on the show, which I can do, so that's fine. Speaking of bringing us on the show, I do want to bring on our guest for the day. That's called a segue, folks. Alex Cole is the CEO and the chief market strategist of Go No Go Charts. I want to stop sharing our screen so we can see Alex. Alex, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Great, lively chat this morning.
Yeah, not every show is like this. I'm not quite sure.
Most of them are, though. They're full of tangents, and we talk and stocks 10% of the time.
If I may jump in, the AT-AT was one of my childhood favorite toys.
Awesome toy. I'm not gonna lie. Would you pick an AT-AT out of the garbage if you saw it there?
I don't know. I might. Yeah.
It depends how much garbage was on it.
Would you give it to your kid for his birthday present?
You're putting me on the spot now.
All right, Alex. You spent many years at Bloomberg, and then at Bloomberg, you were sort of creating technicals and creating your own way of looking at charts. Tell us about the new style of charting that you have created here.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, getting more and more into technicals over the years at Bloomberg, and also now I do a lot of work for Wiley as the SME for the CMT product. And I always found myself really appreciating and enjoying more and more of the traditional technicals that you studied and read about. And the problem then becomes that you end up with a chart that has, I'm sure you've seen, all over the place, charts with five panels and indicator after indicator and lines after line on the price chart, to the point that it becomes a little difficult to really see price and to see important levels. And so a lot of my time became focused on trying to simplify that process and build custom indicators that that would sort of distill the technicals for people and for myself when I was talking to clients or doing my own research. And so where that led me to over the last, since I've left Bloomberg and over the last sort of several years, was trying to color code charts based on the inputs that I held on to after doing, those years of looking at technicals, trying to distill the chart using colors to color code trend. So what you end up with is just one chart that has the price, but it's coded, colored for you, so you know the trend. And then one panel that is an oscillator using the same ideas, blending traditional, well-used, tried and true, indicators into one, so that you're not overloaded and then overwhelmed with the state of the chart. You know, I used to just get frustrated that after you're like, oh yeah, this is really good. This is a really good indicator. This is a really good indicator. And then your price panel is shrinking to the point that you can't draw support and resistance, or you can't find certain key levels. So that was my approach.
So can you show us some charts?
Sure. So I mean, I've been loving everything you've talked about so far. I don't know if I could show a Tesla, I could show a Bitcoin.
Let's start with Tesla.
Yeah. Sure. So
they're due after the close anyway. It'll be the story of the afternoon. Good stock to talk about.
Yeah.
So you click share your screen there.
I said the full bearish segment on them.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah.
But I talk to fundamentals. The charts might talk me out of this.
Right. So let me know if you can see my screen.
Yep. I got you.
So the way it works is I go through five colors. So from sort of, if I pull this back a little bit, you'll see bearish moves are going to be the darker, the purples and the pinks, and then the bullish moves are blues and pale blues. So in the background, I'm saying, okay, if this is true, count it. If this is true, count it. If this is true, count it. And then once I've got, it's not like I'm looking at moon phases or anything wacky. It's sort of the traditional technicals. Like if a price is above a moving average, let's count that. If MACD is above zero, let's count that, things like that. And so once those are all being met, those criteria being met, then I get the strongest blue color, and I call that a go trend. And then the dark purple would be the no-go trend. So Tesla's been on an absolute, rip for, as you guys have been talking about, forever. The trend, according to, the inputs for trend concepts, is still definitely a go. But as you were saying, it certainly has faltered, hasn't made a new high in a while. We even had a couple of, if I zoom in a little bit, even had a couple of amber bars. And amber bars colored mean sort of non-directional, struggling to find the trend. So it sort of flirted with going out of the go trend, came back in, but is failing to make new highs. So I'm looking at the earnings thinking, I think the earnings are, the thought is that they're going to beat their earnings. There's going to be a beat in the earnings estimates, but you know, you've still got quite a lot of way above to get back to that prior high of just above 500. So even with the good earnings, you know, will we get to a new high? You know, not sure. And then the other piece of the indicators that is really important to use along with it is the momentum indicator, which is this one down in the bottom. And it's the same kind of idea. Blend some of the most used momentum oscillators together to get one indicator that tells you everything you need. And the idea with this, when those inputs, you know how with an oscillator, RSI, whatever you're looking at, you've got overbought and oversold. When all of the inputs are neither overbought or oversold, meaning they're in that neutral range, then the go-no-go oscillator will drop to zero. So that's kind of important information because it means there's a bit of a cooling off or a consolidation. And you can see how for quite a long time now, Tesla's been sort of, you know, banging around about that zero line, not really bouncing one way or the other. And in an uptrend, that zero should be support. It's a hard level, a defined level of support. And so we, right now, we're really looking to see if we can rally off the zero line. And if we do rally off the zero line, we'd get one of these green circles, which you see all the way through the trend, which we consider to be relatively low risk reentries. I would expect if we rally off the zero to make some sort of attempt on that high with price going back up. But again, you know, there's a lot of overhead resistance there. But that's sort of where we are with Tesla. The trend is definitely in place, but we'll see.
First, I want to thank you for coming on today. Great looking charts here. I want to add, what about volume? Do you use volume at all as part of an indicator?
Okay. Yeah, so my goal with creating these was to sort of put all the elements that I could into one chart. So in the oscillator below, the darker blue is when volume has been above average volume over the, you know, previous.
Oh, okay, period. Good.
So when we are seeing this consolidation, as you often get in a consolidation, triangles or sideways patterns, that, you know, textbook says volume should decrease through a pattern or through a consolidation. You're seeing that in the oscillator here, that it's gone back to that paler color. So the volume is relatively low compared to previously. And again, then if you do see a rally off zero and you do see, you know, perhaps a test on that recent high, it would be nice to see that go back to a dark blue, showing that volume is picking up on that. But yeah, volume's in there as well.
What about pre-market and after hours trading?
Yeah, so I don't look too much at the pre-market stuff. I'm a, you know, days and intraday I'll look for entries, but you know, obviously we were looking at Netflix. I don't know if you want me to change.
Sure. I just wondered if you incorporated it all into your analysis.
I incorporated only to the extent, Joel, that if you would load pre-market data, then it will capture that. But I generally don't on the daily, but this is where I have on my Netflix chart, I've got the pre-market level here. We were down to about, I think, 497 pre-market. So right now, again, what will that do to the daily trend in Netflix? But yeah, it'll work. If you're somebody that uses pre-market data, then the data will calculate and give you.
Alex, I see. So it's really cool, the go, no go. And, you know, obviously it makes it simplified. It's a lot. What about your out? So these are like entry positions. How do you know like when to exit the trade?
Sure. So again, you know, I talk to, especially with my time at Bloomberg, you can imagine that the Bloomberg client is all different. So we would talk to traders, we would talk to portfolio managers. So everybody's going to have different risk tolerance, different exposures, different strategies for holding. Mm-hmm. What I like to look at for outs for myself, I'll show you what I mean here. If I get into a trade, or if I look at a long, this go flag back on Nestle here was the last go initiation around 140. Now, because of using the oscillator within trend, when the oscillator in conjunction with the go coloring of the trend, the oscillator should stay on the right side of the zero. I was mentioning that a little bit, but the interaction with the zero is really, really super important for me, because if you're in an uptrend, price will get overbought over and over and over again, right? You'll see, you know, enthusiasm, 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 but you shouldn't be getting oversold readings in an oscillator. So if I get oversold readings in any of the inputs, then the oscillator will actually cross below zero. So when I'm looking to sort of take profits, then I'll look to the oscillator, because the oscillator should, in theory, stay above the zero line. And you'll see how it stays on, hits the zero, finds support, hits the zero, finds support, hits the zero, finds support. So when that oscillator is broken at the zero level and goes into negative territory, that would be one of my ways to say, okay, the go trend is threatened, because we shouldn't be getting any oversold readings. And now that we're into that, we've gone oversold, that could be a take profit. But then in this case, you get back right in with the new low risk entry for the next move. But I use the oscillator a lot to tell me when the trend is threatened, because like I said, if the trend is healthy, the oscillator should stay above zero. It could go neutral in any kind of pullback, but it shouldn't go oversold. And that lines up a little bit with the weakness in the color of the trend. When it goes to that paler aqua, that's when I look to the oscillator to see if it finds support at the zero, which it should if the trend is healthy.
See, I like this, because one of the things that's always bugged me the most about technical analysis is what you said. It can get so complicated, and like, it's fine if I have someone there who can explain all the different indicators and colors and what they mean, but like, if I look at a chart and I have a hard time seeing what the price is, you know what I mean, then I'm just like, what's even the point of this, right?
Well, and that's
my problem. So I'm just curious, like, ballpark here, how many different indicators, because this chart looks very clean, so how many indicators are actually on this chart right now? Because it seems
So and I was just going to follow up with, like, I love the old technicals. Like, Edwards McGee had a book that I just fell in love with when I was studying it for the first time, and so looking for patterns was one of the things that I really like to do. And you know, you can start getting trend lines on your chart, and it's not obscured or it's not too small. So that was a real major focal point for developing this. But to answer your question, there is at least 10 concepts/indicators in this, and with multiple sort of inputs. Like, there's a shorter term time frame for some of them and a longer term, so there's quite a lot of information in here, and it's just about what I wanted to look at every day, and I sort of squeezed it all in.
So how does someone get access to this, because we're on TradingView, right? So how do we
so right now we're actually, it's really, really exciting. We're actually launching our own sort of gonogocharts.com, which is going to provide the service. We do have the indicators on TradingView, and you know, you can reach out to me and I can enable the indicators for you. You can go to the website, put in an email, and we send out weekly research. But it's gonogocharts.com, or you can send an email to info@gonogocharts.com. But yeah, we're hoping to put something out that's really pretty cool in the near future. But at the moment, we can enable people on TradingView. Absolutely.
One quick question for you. You know, we're obviously, there's technical traders, there's fundamental traders, different time frames. Do you, either for your, you know, your personal investing or for trading at all, do you pay any attention to the fundamentals?
Personally, I pay attention to what's happening to get for idea generation a little bit. So, like, you know, you guys have been talking today about, you know, earnings coming out, and talking about the, you know, I love the electric car story. I couldn't agree more that, you know, I can't imagine that one company will dominate the whole market when all cars are electric. I was looking at the Ford website the other day, and they have an electric Mustang. It looks nothing like a Mustang. It's called the E-Mach. But it's like a small SUV. So every company now has electric vehicles in some form or another. So I look to the fundamental, and I read the news for idea generation. But then when I'm looking at the chart, I try to keep it purely technical. I don't know if that answers your question, Joel, but.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Alex Cole is the CEO and the chief market strategist at Go No Go Charts. I've dropped the link into our various chats. It's very simple. Go No Go. go-no-go-charts.com. It's in there. Alex Cole, thanks a lot for the time. Thanks for sharing your charts. And yeah, we definitely have to have you back later in the year and see how things develop.
Thanks for letting me in on the fun. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate
thanks
it.
Right.
8:50 here. We got about 10 minutes left in our show. I do want to get to our chat and want to remind everyone, hit the like button. Forgot to mention at the top, likes help us, and therefore they help us help you. So the more likes, the more fun we can have.
Spencer, you make sure everyone that pays in the super chat, we cover their stocks, right?
Yeah, yeah. We covered Bitcoin, so I saw that in there.
I took care of Lester. Yeah,
we work for tips.
If there's another one that I missed, yeah, okay, there was one that I missed while we were talking to Alex. He asked about LIT and LAC for the long term. Long term.
LIT, the ETF, yep, the lithium ETF that isn't all lithium.
Wow. I haven't checked my lithium lately.
I looked into this before, into what is in the LIT holdings. And it's surprising, actually, what's in there. So you just got to always dig deep. Whenever you're buying an ETF, jump into what are they actually holding? Because sometimes it's not as what is advertised there. You obviously think in this case, it's all going to be lithium stocks. And there is a lot of them in there. But there's stuff like Samsung. Like, that's not, you know, up here at 4% Samsung. ALB is a lithium play. But ALB also has a lot of other stuff, too, that they have. Tesla's 7% of it. So it's a big component, you know, in there as well. So it's always interesting to, you know, jump into the details, you know, like you think, oh, lithium, it's going to be like companies like LTHM and, you know, a lot of other pure lithium plays. And you look and there's just not a lot of pure lithium plays out there.
It's a lot of Chinese and Asia stocks like Samsung.
But what do you think, like Samsung being 4%, like, I mean, how much of their business is derived from lithium and battery technology?
Right.
1%, maybe
less. How do they get in there?
LG, a lot of
LG is in there. I mean, these are not pure lithium companies at all. So if you look and you really break it down, it's like, well, if you really went into it, there's like not a lot of lithium in the lithium ETF.
All right, but anyway, but that aside though, looking at that or LAC for the long term.
I'll just say LIT that, you know, the trend is your friend there. It had a big move up and a pullback. So I mean, it's hard to say this thing is going down anytime soon. It had a real long downtrend from 18 to 20. A major lower amount. I can't say anything about it. Dennis is the LCA expert, so I'll let him take LCA.
LCA.
Yeah.
No, LAC. No, it's LAC. You're dyslexic there, Joel. LAC. So I think that's what they said, because LAC is Lithium Americas.
Yeah.
And this has been one of those lithium plays that really got hot there right after the battery event. It went from like $7 to $17. It cooled off. I will say it's in consolidation station. So if you're looking to strike, now would be the time, actually. So it sets up not bad. I'd stop myself out at the low from 3 days ago, which was $11.92. So just setting up the trade, if you wanted to set up the trade. And I don't know if I'm going to do it. But, you know, you kind of got like a 50% pullback of the move. If you called it from 7 to 17 and then a 5-point pullback, Joel, just going ballparking it, you're right there. So it's held the 50%, and now it's trying to like put in, you know, a couple, you know, it's trying to put in a little bit of consolidation right above the 50%. If it takes that out and starts going through 1192, then it's a slippery slope back down to 10. But if it holds 1192,
yeah,
you got a shot to start continue the uptrend here. So I don't mind buying stocks in an uptrend on a pullback. I kind of like it here.
And I don't know why I thought of the stock. What was the original symbol for LA Gear? Remember? That used to be a low price stock.
LTGR?
I don't know.
Wasn't it like that? I remember trading it.
Yeah, it's on the pink sheets.
It was four.
Now.
It was NASDAQ.
Yeah, it's LA Gear.
I remember trading it like 20 years ago.
Used to have those kind of shoes too, didn't you? Those LA Gear shoes and stuff.
My dad had a pair of LA Gears.
Okay.
I don't think I ever did.
I agree there. There's support there. And then it needs a bounce. Let's just check on DKNG, stock of the day.
The road to 40. It's almost there.
Yeah.
I want to buy it at 40. It's not quite there. So yep. We got down to 40. We didn't make a new low yesterday. That's the good news.
That's
for the
good. Yeah.
Bad news is I still think 40 is a magnet here. I think eventually it's seeing 40, but it's been a nice pullback. I mean, at a certain point, it's like, okay, 42 and a half. it's better than buying it at 62 and a half.
It tried to rally yesterday, and it got up. It had a big block trade.
Getting rejected.
Below the low of the day, I think 1.7 million went up at 42.16 or something, and that wasn't even low of the day. So we'll see. Penn had a little bit hung in there. Man, you still got to love that 64 area. I wish I could look at it
Penn
as
hanging,
a
though.
Yeah. I wish I could look at it as like a low risk buy instead of slamming it and going to 60.
It's because all those lows are there, and you're just thinking if it takes those lows out, it's going to be like $55.
Yeah.
I sold this thing at 68 and a half a few days ago because I thought I would get it back in the 50s. Here I am scalping my long term account, but I just thought the story had cooled off enough. And you know, the other thing is obviously it's COVID cases. This is very dependent on what's going to happen with sports. And you know, are we going to continue to get cases? Are they going to continue to have to, or you know, is it going to just get to a point where they're just going to play the games no matter what? Because we know the spread is going to continue. If they're going to continue to delay games, or you know, but Major League Baseball got through it. So baseball started kind of iffy too. And you know, after the day five of the Major League Baseball season, like this isn't going to work, and it did. I mean, we're in the World Series.
Who won last night? I didn't check. Who won last night?
Is anybody watching it?
Dodgers won last night, and no one's watching. Oh no, people are watching it, I'm sure.
Why are the ratings so bad for sports? We're all sitting at home. I don't care either.
There are many reasons why, and that's the bottom line. There's no one reason. It's a combo of we're in an election season. Every sport is on at the same time, so they're cannibalizing each other. There is no fans. That's surely contributing. We're in a freaking pandemic, right? So people
you're
have
thinking of pandemic though. You're bored. You just sit and watch sports, and nobody's watching.
Yeah,
well, I didn't even realize we were in the World Series until a couple days ago. I was like, "Oh, there, Dodgers right. are going to the World
because
Series."
Because for a 3 month period, every sport was on at the exact same time. And there was
just feels fake. I mean, with the 50 game season,
that is why.
You know, the NHL was the same thing. It felt fake. This play in and the way it went. I know Tampa Bay won the Stanley Cup, and it's all exciting, but it didn't feel real. It didn't feel normal with no fans, and they got the fake, you know, fans cheering after the goals and stuff. I mean, everything just felt fake. So it's hard, and sports having a tough time with that, you know, and obviously, you know, ratings and, you know, if people aren't watching sports, they're not betting on sports. So that hurts DKNG and that hurts Penn Gaming. So, you know, obviously I think that eventually it comes back, but pandemic sports are not as good as real sports.
All right, let's do a couple more in the chat. Okay. iRobot. This is a good one because they reported earnings yesterday. I don't think they're comparable because either the estimate was way off or the adjusted number was way off. But $3.27 per share was their adjusted EPS. The sales more in line, and that beat by a lot. Sales of $413 million versus $312 million estimates. So they blew it away on the sales.
It really went, Joel.
Wow.
They trade worked here like a champion.
My Lord.
I mean, unless you were early, I guess. But this went up to over $110 last night. The algos just got all excited.
Jesus, yeah. Murphy.
The robots buying robots. I mean, up to $110. That just got ridiculous. And it pulled back significantly. And then obviously it's pulled back. And that 110 is long gone. This has been a consolidation station now here for the better part of the after hours and pre-market session. So you can forget about 110. You can forget about 100, in my opinion. The thing is now in the red. And now it's like that quarter killed it. And they, for whatever reason, have decided that it's not good enough. And if that quarter isn't good enough, it's a tough go for RBT. Because that was a good quarter.
I know. Got a little bit of this one, too. Picked it up a while ago, I think in the 50s.
Oh, Joel, I must have sold it to you. When I sold. I sold this thing. I had bought this thing during the pandemic. And I was like, I was a believer in it. And I sold my bloody stock before an earnings report because I didn't want to take it through earnings. I sold it like $59. And now it's $92. And I'm like, why did I sell my iRobot? But I'm not buying it at $92.
Yeah, I'd say right now, just based on the price action, a lot of people will be scratching like, oh man, I just want to see that close. Just get 96. I'll go 95, 95. And so I look at that. I look at the close, also the high. I would throw out that pre-market action and look at the high from yesterday, if we can go in rally mode, 98.55. On the downside, yesterday's low was pretty close, 91.75. So it's a little tight, but I see two lows under 90, actually three out of four lows in the 89 handle. So let's just call 89.76.5 a must hold level on the downside here for IRBT. And this was another one that I got from Mr. Munster. Gene talked about this one a long time ago. And also, I don't know if you're listening, though, but Bill Santiago, we got to get him on again. This was one of the stocks that he has in his portfolio, and I hope he's holding on to it.
Looking ahead to this afternoon, Tesla, of course, Chipotle reports, Lam Research, Whirlpool, Discover Financial. Those are kind of the big names that we're going to get after the close today. Tomorrow morning, Coke, AT&T, American Airlines, Southwest.
Picking up.
So, yeah, we're picking up here in the earnings season.
Yeah.
That'll be a wrap for
that level on Procter & Gamble you gave me, Joel, was money. I shorted that open. Came straight in.
Heatless,
you said the 146 is their size there. I looked afterwards after the show, and there was like 140,000 shares up there. I was like, I'll try this mid 145s, and it opened at the high tick and came straight in. So if you're looking, you know, at the chart there, open. I think I got filled at like 145.60, and I took zero heat. It was straight in from there.
Can we knock a lunch off for that?
It was a good one. That was all you, Joel. So I shorted that open. Because I was like, I'll risk. I think I was like at 145, like mid, because I was like, I'll lean on that 146. And I thought, you know, it was maybe one of those that they'd sell the good news. And it came straight in.
You got to use the stock on that. You got to use the stock on that too, because these option guys are sneaky, because I was looking at it. So they don't open up right away, right? They let the stock open and dip, and then they make a big old wide market.
Big old wide
and you're like, okay, yeah. I guess you don't want to play today. And then, you know, then it drops a buck and there's big offers on the calls.
They're not in it to lose money, Joel.
I know.
They don't give you a market that they're going to lose money on.
They could open the options at the same time, just so, you know, you get a little bit of an edge.
They might open, but they'll open like you said. They open out here. You drive a truck through that spread, man. We're like, this is chopping around. We're going to go way out here where we know we're safe. You want to lift my offer? Way up here, I'll make the buck on you. But I'm not coming in here giving you a nice, tidy little nickel market here when the stock's moving around dollars.
The only time I've had success with those is if I just throw it, you know, I do my own special calculations and throw an order out there, like on the open, you know, that has to get filled. You know, at a decent price. But then sometimes you just like, it opens up and it's like, oh, well, I'm the only one trading this today. But anyways, folks, choppy day here.
Back to red again.
This is going to be a tough one. I'm just going to look at this 3420 area. They kind of got it down there after the Netflix numbers and the stimulus talk. So it's not one of those days where if we take out the pre-market low, like I'm going all in short side. I just, you know, I think you're like 3418 and then 3435 and chop around. This could be the election consolidation that I was talking about, you know, a couple weeks ago that turned into be a big rally. But those are my final thoughts for the day.
All right, we're at 285 likes. Let's get to 350 before I'm done.
Did you like it, Joel? Like the show.
There we go.
I liked it.
You like to see it. For more information on
liking yourself. I mean, I don't understand that. I guess I like Spencer. There we go.
And we didn't advertise. We got, you know, we found out a little backstory with me, but we didn't advertise the backstory with Spencer Israel. He was interviewed there, and it's now live on the Benzinga YouTube site.
I thought you would forget.
But the backstory to Spencer Israel and how he got started in the markets.
I thought surely you would forget that. Yes. So
post the link. I'm watching this video today. I want to get the backstory here on Mr.
Spencer
Israel.
We just blew through 300. Was there stops at 300? On the likes,
357.
Yeah, we just blew through there.
Post that link here. Oh, we're gonna post that link. The backstory to Mr. Spencer Israel.
I'm posting. There's a link to the new show with Jason Raznick. I was one of the two people we interviewed yesterday. for the first episode, and that is now in the chat. That's called the Raz Report. For there are more links in our description of our video, including links to Benzinga Pro, links to our morning newsletter, The Market in 5 Minutes, links to upcoming events. So check all those out. You can always email us as well, premarket@benzinga.com. Email us with questions, comments, concerns, whatever. That goes to all three of us, so we all see it. Thanks to our guest today, Alex Cole. Thanks to all of you in our chats. Please remember that all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Thanks to the at-ats for their participation in today's show. Joel and I will be back with you at 3:40 p.m. Eastern time to wrap up the day.
Best show on YouTube, according to Dan Keynote. Coyote.